You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, we've been teaching on authority, man's authority in the earth. Ultimately, you know, not to ever be misunderstood, misconstrued, or twisted, which is easy to do. You can soundbite any sermon and make it say almost anything. We live in a world of soundbites. But lest we misunderstand, of course, all authority, ultimate authority, comes from God.
Yes.
And God owns the earth. He made the earth. Are you with me?
Yes.
And He's got plans for it. He's coming back just like He said and all those things. But if you go through the Scripture, you begin to understand that God delegated authority to man. I mean, He did it when He first made man. In Genesis 1:26, He gave him authority over all the works of His hand.
Amen.
So we are, in that sense, stay with me now, let me finish the statement. In that sense, we are the masters of this world. We're not the creator of this world. We're not the owners of this world. But presently, we are the masters of this world under the master.
Yes.
Last week, we talked about the earth lease, how that the earth really has been given to men for a time. And then at some point in time, Jesus will come back and take it back. But till then, we're still here. Are you with me?
Right.
And that sure answers for a lot of what's going on in the world today. The broken world, the fallen world that we live in, the evil that's in the world, the sin that's in the world, the destruction that's in the world. You can trace it back to Adam, where Adam was given full responsibility, and God didn't just take it back from him because he messed it up and misused it. God allowed it to take its course, and he's going to come back himself and take it all back when the lease is up. That's why you hear things like when the demons confronted Jesus, or when Jesus confronted the demons, you know, they would cry out, you know, "We know who you are, you Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before the time?" They would say things like that, you know. "Or I adjure you by God, leave me alone." They didn't feel like he had a right to cast them out or to tell them to do anything, because they were thinking of him and looking to him as God, and the time hadn't come yet, and God has not come back yet in that sense. He came as a man in Jesus, and Jesus did what he did as a man. Lived a perfect sinless life as a man.
Yes.
Did miracle signs and wonders as a man. It's interesting that he waited around for the anointing of God to come upon him before he ever did a miracle.
Yeah.
And the anointing of God is not for God. God doesn't anoint God. God is anointed.
Amen.
But the anointing is for man, and God anointed the man.
Amen.
Jesus was God, but he was man, and he came as a man. Are you with me?
Yes.
So we see that, and last week we talked about that earth lease. And if you'll think of it in terms of, and all analogies break down. All illustrations and all examples have a breaking point, so you can't take them to the nth degree. But as a picture, in a form, in a truth, there is a truth here that if you look at us as managers of the earth, that's kind of a good picture. God owns it, but we manage. He put us here to manage it. You can look at us as stewards of the earth. It's his, but he put us in charge of it. Hello. Now, he doesn't take that back just because we mess up. He has a limited time where we're employed here as the managers and the stewards. And then in another sense, he owns it and he has leased it out to us. And we've planted some things and raised some crops and that he didn't really want us to raise, but he's not going to take it back because it's still under a lease. Although he owns it. So we're like renters in that sense, or managers, or stewards in that sense. And God put us down here for that purpose. When you study Genesis, God made the whole world, made all the animals, all the fish, you know, all the fish of the sea, the fowl, the air, and every creeping thing creeps on earth, made the whole earth, set the times and the seasons, set the days and the nights, and did all that and got it all ready. And then he put man down here as the keeper of the earth, the one who was to watch over it, the one who was to take authority over it and be responsible for it. Now, that's a clear picture that you find in the Scripture. In fact, that's take all the theology out of your thinking for a minute. We talk about love and compassion. God is love. God did create us to fellowship. I understand all that. But just read through the Scripture. God put us down here to oversee this thing and to fellowship with us. So if it's to be, it's up to me. He said, "Are you saying you can save yourself?" No, but I sure have to call on the Lord to be saved. Don't I?
Yeah.
Whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive." He didn't say, "Don't worry about it. I'll just do whatever you need. You don't even have to think about it. I'll take care of you." Did Jesus ever say that? He never said that at all. In fact, all through the Scripture, Jesus would tell them, you know, if you believe whatever a man believes, you know, when you pray, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them.
Amen.
And he'd say things like, you know, all things that you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And ask and you shall receive. And seek you will find, and knock and the door will be opened unto you. And he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Hello. Are you with me? You going into Paul's writing? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's a difference between us and all creation. We were put down here. Originally, Adam was put in a garden to keep it, to guard it, and to tend it. The world needed an overseer. The world needed a master. The world needed a steward, a manager. And that's why God created us. As far as, you know, of course, for fellowship and love, but our function here was to oversee. And we have done that to quite a degree. I mean, we're masters of the air, and we fly across the airways, and we're masters of the sea. Man, I mean, we get in boats and submarines, and we've taken over the sea. We're masters of the ground, the earth. I mean, cars and motorcycles, and I mean, we just taken over. Now we're in the internet, and we're masters of this world. We've had problems mastering morality and spiritual things.
Right.
Hello. But lions don't rule the roost. Dogs don't make the rules. Unless you've got one in a house. And then they pretty well run the house. But I mean, we're masters. We were made that way. And so too many times, I think, and where all this comes down, what's the practical point here and what's the use of all this and all this wonderful teaching, yes, what good will it do me? I think too many times we bail out of our responsibility waiting around for God to do something, and God has given us His name, the name of Jesus. He's given us His Word and the Holy Spirit, and we need to be praying and believing God to make some changes because that's what He put us here for. Now, we know that in the natural, and we believe that more than we think we do. When something goes wrong, we go help. We've got fires over in West Texas right now. People are going out there trying to put them out and trying to help people. People will congregate around tragedy and crisis to help because there's just something in us. We are supposed to fix things. We're supposed to make things right. We have a responsibility with life. We've been given this wonderful privilege of this wonderful right to live in this earth. God created us, but He created us with a purpose. And with every right comes a responsibility. And that's innate in us. We know that in the natural. We just kind of bail out when it comes to spiritual things and prayer. And it's been a terrible thing that has creeped into the church, a powerless church, a weak church where we don't believe when we pray, we don't expect the supernatural to happen, we don't expect for miracles to take place, and yet God put us here for that very reason.
Amen.
So that we would believe, so He could move through us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you see Jesus, y'all turn with me, if you will, to John 10. When you see Jesus, you see what man should be. Yes, yes, He was the Savior. Yes, He was the Lamb that took away the sin of the world. Yes, He was the only way we could be saved and the only way we can be saved. I understand all that. We get teaching on eternal life, salvation, righteousness. We'll definitely hammer on that for sure. But He also was an example, or is an example. He was the last Adam. The first Adam messed up. The last Adam restored what the first Adam messed up. And whatever Jesus is, well, you know what? That's what we're supposed to be. And we should live our lives trying to be more like Him every day. I know in that we'll never be totally like Him, I guess, until we're, you know, regenerated. Our body is, this mortal puts on immortality. But that day will come. That'll happen. That's what John said. He said in 1 John 3, verse 2, he says, "Now we are the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, "We now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know as we are known." There's coming a day where we will be totally manifested, as it were. The manifested sons of God. The whole creation yearns and groans within itself, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. That's what Paul says. That's going to happen, you know, at the rapture of the church. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. And when that happens, we're going to be like Jesus.
Yes.
We're not going to be Him, we're going to be like Him. Woo!
Amen.
Okay. But see, he came down here. Man, there's so much in this, and I just want to stay focused. Stay focused here. Jesus came down to us because we couldn't go up to him. It's the law of the higher to the lower. You know, the higher's got to come down to the lower because the lower is too low.
That's right.
To get up to where the high is. We see it in life. You know, you got to, oak trees, you know, they have to drop off those acorns and have to come down to the ground and die in order for those seeds to reproduce and become an oak tree. And that's an interesting point, too, because what has happened here is we've returned to the one we've fallen from. Isn't that right? We fell from God and we return from God if we're willing to die. You know, die to self, to who we were, and become a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
But see, he had to come down to us because we couldn't get up to him. He was just too high. He's too high and holy.
Amen.
We were just too lowly.
Yeah.
But he came down because of it. It's just like a baby. You have to goo-goo and gaga with a baby. You know, you can't talk philosophy with a baby. Are you with me? You got to first goo-goo and ooh and ah with them and watch them stumble and write in your book they stepped, and when they didn't step, they just took a step and fell over. But it's one step, we wrote it down, they tried. We get down there with them, we get on the ground, wrestle with them, we grow up, we help them learn, you know, to use a fork and use a spoon, and it's the higher to the lower. Our intent is to get them up to where we are. Kind of cute when they're two and they've got that spoonful of peanut butter in their hair, in their ear. Not so cute when they're 16 and still doing that. The point is, you want to bring them up. But if you don't go down to their level, if you don't get down to where they are, they're never going to come up to where you are. Are you with me? So here we were. You know, just God's creation, fallen from God. So he came down to us. But he didn't come down to us to leave us where we were. He came down to us to bring us up to where he is. Isn't that right? To bring us back up. So what Jesus did, Jesus had to become a man. There's lots of reasons for that. We've gone over case after case why that's true. And his authority came from the fact that he was a man, not that he was God. God made the world, but he leased it out. And so God, in order to really walk around down here and exercise authority and change things and make them right, he's going to have to become a man to do that, and that's what he did. He became a man. And this is what the Scripture says. Now, Jesus was God, and he was man. He's both. 10th chapter of John. Y'all found it?
Yeah.
Think about that for a moment. It's real simple. It's not real complicated. It says, now, most assuredly, Jesus speaking, I say to you, let me get my cheaters out here. Hallelujah. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, 6th verse, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. That's pretty common. Jesus preached a lot they didn't understand. I think it's interesting here, and I'm not saying this is exactly what he's talking about, but it definitely makes sense if you'll think of it in this sense. The earth, if you thought of the earth as the sheepfold, we are the sheep. We know that. Amen?
Amen?
And in this illustration, in these first few verses, Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. And there was a proper way to come in to the sheepfold, and there was an improper way to come in to the sheepfold. He came in the proper way. Let me throw this out just as an analogy, and all analogies break down at some point. But I think this will help you to understand. The legal proper way to get into the earth, the door into the earth, is natural human birth.
Right.
Jesus came that way. He became a man, and he came into the earth legally to the sheepfold. Now, there's someone else that's in the earth that didn't come in legally. The Bible calls him a thief. And a robber. He didn't come through the door. He didn't have a right to come in. He stole his way in. He lied to somebody. He deceived somebody. He bamboozled somebody. The devil came in illegal. The devil's never been born in this earth. Never. Jesus has. All the authority the devil has, he stole.
Yes.
And he still steals today. He's still stealing right now. Taking authority over you and your house and, hello, and the earth. Through men, through women, through people that allow him in, but he doesn't come in legally, see. He's not a legal authority. If you want legal authority, you have to come in through the door, which would be natural birth. That's not so hard to figure out. You know, in this country, the United States of America, thank God for this country, if you want to hold the highest office of authority that this land has, the presidency, then legally, you must be born here. Now, I'm not addressing anything going on right now, okay? I'm not addressing the validity of someone's birth certificate or not. That's not even relevant to the point that I'm making here. Although it'd be something to talk about. But anyway, I might have opinions on that. But you can do a lot in this country, but you cannot be the president, not legally. You cannot legally be the president of the United States of America unless you were born into this country. That's a very common law. That's a common thing that you see in countries around the world. And even cities have certain rules about being a mayor and governor and so on and so forth. But to be the president, to have the highest office of authority in the United States of America, you have to be not just a citizen, you have to be born here. That is the law. That's what the law states. Are you with me? So if you got it any other way, you know, you'd be a thief and a robber. But anyway, if you think that thing through, we've always attributed seniority or tenure or age to authority. You respect your elders. You respect your parents. They were here before you. Are you with me? Someone who has tenure on a job generally has more authority because they've been there longer, as it were. Or they're there, they have a right to be there. And birth has certain perks that comes along with it. Jesus' authority in the earth didn't come from the fact that he was God. It came from the fact that he was a man. God gave him his authority, because all authority comes from God. Okay. But he gave him authority to operate in the earth because he came in legally. He was born. The birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. Matthew 1:18 tells us that he was born into the earth. And literally, Mary, you know, God bless Catholics. I'm for Catholics. Do not twist this and say we're against. We're for Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, anybody that loves the Lord. But now, there is a point of doctrine that's not correct. We often call Mary the mother of God, but Mary was the mother of the man.
Right. Right. Yes.
Mary didn't birth God. God never was born. He always existed. But God became a man, and that man, Jesus, who we call Jesus Christ, was born at a certain time, in a certain day, in a certain place.
Amen.
And his mother was Mary.
Yes.
So Mary is the mother of Jesus, the man. But the God part of Jesus had always existed, already existed. The God part of Jesus, Mary was not the mother of that.
Yes.
He had already, he was the Ancient of Days. His going forth had been from everlasting to everlasting. Micah 5:2 tells us that. He was in the beginning as the Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Word was God. Word, you know, all things are made by him. Was not anything made that was made. And the Word, 14th verse of the first chapter of John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. So he came down here, and he came down here in a legal sense. If you want authority and a right to be in this earth, you must be born into this earth. That gives you your right. There's a certain amount of authority that comes with you just having a birth certificate.
Amen.
Hello? Certain amount of authority. I mean, you know, of course, there's still the problem of sin you've got to deal with. If you're lost, you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can't operate in the things of God. Hello? So in this first illustration, y'all tracking with me?
Yes.
This is good stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm liking this.
Amen.
Jesus came in legally. He came in through natural birth. He came in through the door into the sheepfold. Now anybody comes in another way, climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. That's what Jesus said in John 10, chapter 1, verse. Of course, he's referring to the devil. We know that. And it says, he brings out, I love that, fourth verse, and he brings out his own sheep In other words, there's a lot of sheep there. But his sheep he brings out. That'd be us. He is going to bring us out of this world. He's going to take us out. Hallelujah. And it says, he goes before them, and he did. He went before us. He was the firstborn from the dead. He was the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. He was the captain and the leader of our salvation, the Scripture tells us. And also, he was the first fruits unto God. The Scripture calls him the first fruit. He is our first fruits. So Jesus went out before us. He came in legally. And he went out into heaven before us. And he will bring us with him or bring us out with him. He turns around and uses another illustration. This is where it gets a little confusing. That's why I want to take it real slow here. Because this first illustration, the 10th chapter, the first through the six verses, or the first through the fifth verse, we know that he is the shepherd that came through the door. Y'all see that? I mean, that's what he says. He says, I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, we know he's talking about himself there. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, Jesus. And he, Jesus, calls his own sheep, the shepherd calls us, his sheep, by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He's the shepherd. Y'all see that? Now he uses an illustration where he kind of turns it around. He says he's the door. But he's not talking about the same parable. It's another illustration. Let's back up six verses. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So he used another illustration. And the thing about illustrations, they change. I mean, come on, use one illustration, make one point, make another illustration, make another point, and use different characters, different analogies, different metaphors. And I always heard that in writing, you don't want to mix your metaphors. You know, if you start out using metaphors about the sea, don't jump over and start using metaphors about fire. You know, keep your metaphors nautical if you're going to write about the sea. That was free. Most of y'all didn't even catch that. But anyway, it says in the 7th verse, then Jesus said to them again, most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Well, now, okay. Well, obviously he's making another point. He's not making the same point because he didn't enter in by himself. Hello, are you with me? He came through the door into the sheepfold. That illustration's over. Now he's making another illustration. Now Jesus said to them again, most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Well, he's the shepherd and the door, depending on what illustration you want to choose here. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now he's talking about heaven. He's not talking about the earth. Amen. Are you with me? When Jesus came down here, he didn't enter into heaven. He entered into the earth.
That's right.
But if you are ever going to enter into heaven, you're going to have to enter in through him.
That's right. Amen.
Because he's the door to heaven.
That's good, Pastor.
Isn't that right? But the shepherd first came to us, the earth, legally as a man, to lead us out to heaven. And he is the way, the truth, the life. He is the way, not to the earth. Jesus is not the way into this earth. You can get into this earth just by being born. That's how you get into the earth. But he's the way to heaven.
That's right.
So you see, he's talking about two different things here. He's talking about, I came down here legally to get you. I am the shepherd who came through the door. But let's turn this thing around. I am the door that's going to open up and take you into heaven.
Amen.
You might say it this way. Let's talk about births. Let's talk about births. Are y'all tracking with me?
Yes.
Okay. I know this is just not, you know, I don't preach normal anyway. People say, well, that's not, I don't know, what kind of preaching is that? Well, we're just teaching. We're just teaching from the Word. And explaining and communicating. And that's something new. You don't hear a lot of that in church. Communication, explaining, all that. But what happened was, we're talking about birth. Birth gives you a legal right to be in the earth. I'll tell you something else. It's a birth that will give you a legal right to be in heaven. There's only one way you're ever going to get in this earth. You've got to be born here. There's only one way you're ever going to get in heaven. You've got to be born from there, from above, to get there. Now, legally, you can't get in this earth unless you are born in this earth. Legally, you can't get to heaven unless you're born into heaven. Or we'll say born of this earth or from this earth or born of heaven or from heaven. Jesus called it being born from above or born of the Spirit. That's what he was explaining to John, to Nicodemus in John 3, where John said, can a man enter the second time, enter into his mother's womb? Because Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so Nicodemus is thinking, well, man, I can't just get born again. And actually, it wouldn't matter if he was born 100 times in the earth, because that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about being born from above. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again.
Amen.
Are you with me? Because that's the only way you can get into heaven. You've got to be born into it. How do you become a part of the family? You're born into a family. If you want to be the family of God, you've got to be born into the family of God. Yes. That's called the new birth.
Yes.
That's called being born again.
Yep.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
That's how we're saved. That's how we go to heaven. And that's what he's saying here in the second illustration. He said, then Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enters by me, now he's going the other way. He's coming out of the sheepfold into pasture, okay? Y'all catching it? He came into the door to the earth, but now to go the other way to heaven, he is the door to go into heaven. So we're all in this sheepfold called the earth, and we all got here legally through birth, natural birth. If you want to get out of this sheepfold called the earth, and you want to find the pasture of heaven, if you want to find the green grass of heaven, if you want to get out of the sheepfold, you got to go to the door, and the door into that pasture is Jesus. All who ever came before me, 8th verse, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, what? How does he give us life? Well, that's pretty simple. Did you know when you were born again, you were granted access to the things of God? To go out through Jesus, in Jesus' name, obviously, and pastor and feed, and get life, and get answered prayers, and whatever else he offers. And you come in and out, but you have to go in and out through him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Because he's the way in and out. Now, we're still in the sheepfold, and yes, we're going to heaven to live forever, eventually on a new heaven, new earth. But even now, we have access into the kingdom of God every time we pray. Don't we? We're born legally into the earth. Jesus came and brought us out. And we go in and out and pasture. You know what it says? Did your Bible say that?
Yes.
In and out, in and out. Okay? He will go in and out and find pasture. There's lots of times in this Texas heat that ground gets dry. I know where some green grass is I can go get when I need it. In the Spirit. Are you with me? Lots of times I run out in the natural. But I got a supply over here in this other realm, this other kingdom, that I can go through Jesus and get. I can go in and I can go out. I can go in, I can go out. I'm always going into the Spirit and coming out of the Spirit. You're always going in the Spirit and coming out of the Spirit because you're down here and now you're born again. And now you've got that door you can go through Jesus, hallelujah, to go in to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the things of the Spirit, and bring them back out.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
That's
better preaching. Y'all are amen. So when we talk about authority in the earth, real plain, real simple, it's because of a birth. I was born here. If you're ever going to get into heaven, you're going to have to be born from heaven to get there. Amen.
Yes.
And it all comes down to Jesus. His right to be here was because he was a man. He came legally through the door. Well, there's only one legal way you're going to get to heaven, and that's through the door of the new birth.
Yes.
And Jesus is the door.
To
the new birth. Amen. Without him, you can't be born again. You have to know him to be saved. But while we're on this earth, see, the anointing is for us. The authority has been given to us. The commission and responsibility God has given us. And if it's going to get done, we're going to have to do it, especially the church. Come on, we are the church. Notice Acts 2. Stay with me. This helping you?
Yes.
Man, I love this. Good stuff. Something you can chew on, too.
Yeah.
Chew on, meditate on. Acts 2, and this is a truth you find over and over and over again. I don't know how we've missed it. I think we're so so afraid we're going to be sacrilegious, you know, or overstep our position by even claiming any kind of authority that we, in the name of humility, and it's false humility, we don't stand on our rights that God has given us. It's not just rights, it's responsibility that God's given us. And it's irresponsible of us to not believe and not pray and not stand on the Word of God. It's not a matter of just, well, you can if you want to, or you don't, you know, you have this privilege or this choice. And well, it is a choice, but it's also a responsibility. I mean, it's one thing you see somebody on the side of the road needs some help. It's another thing to go out there and help them. You can say, well, I could help them. Well, you should help them. If you can, you should. I realize I can't help everybody, but we ought to help who we can. Are you with me? It's not just a choice, is it? I mean, I should help them, shouldn't I?
Yes, amen.
I think you're irresponsible if you got something wrong with you and you don't go to the doctor, you know, and you're not believing God and trusting God. You're just not going to the doctor because you don't like doctors. And then you die. Well, that's irresponsible. You should go get some help, shouldn't you? That's not just a choice. That's just being responsible. See, sometimes we make these promises out like there are some just choices. They are choices, yes. We can refuse them. We can accept or reject. Sometimes we make peace and getting out of poverty. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's not a sin to be poor, but it is a sin to want to stay there. It's not a sin to be sick. We live in a broken, fallen world. I mean, there's no condemnation. People get sick. I get sick. You get sick. You know, if you die sick as a Christian, you're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah, we win. Not a sin to be sick. But I tell you, it would be a sin not to try to get healed. Not to go to the doctor, not try to get help, not pray, not, you know, isn't that right? Now, we can say all day long, well, it's your choice, do what you want to. But actually, it's our responsibility.
Yes, sir.
To try. Come on, let's do something. Don't they have medicine for that? Don't they have a surgery for that or something? Come on. If you got somebody pray with you, I mean, you know, you could just throw it all in a mix here. We ought to be pursuing that because it's our responsibility. Not just there's so many people that need it worse than I do. Well, man, if you go that, you might as well just go to hell because there's people that need to go to heaven worse than you. That went over real big. No. I don't believe. Well, I think. See, the thing is, who would think that way about heaven? I mean, we all should go to heaven, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
I think God's got enough salvation for everybody if they all called on Him. Me not calling on Him is not going to provide more salvation for somebody that's not saved. Me not asking God to help me is not going to, you know, provide more supply for somebody that really needs it. God's got enough supply to meet everybody's need. In fact, for my sake and the sake of my children, I should ask God to help me. And I, for the sake of my community and my neighbors, I should ask God to help me. I should pursue it.
Yes.
If He says it, then that's what He wants me to do. He's given me authority to pursue it. He's given His name, the name of Jesus. Praise God. I've been born into the earth. Now I've been born into the kingdom for such a time as this.
Yes.
I was born into the household of God to make a difference. I was born into the earth with authority. You were born into the kingdom of God with authority. Wow. Now, the question is, why aren't we using it? That's the one I want to kick myself most of the time. You know, if you could kick yourself or kick the person that's responsible for most of your problems, you wouldn't be able to sit down for 2 weeks. You know, you're it. Hallelujah. But I think if we look at it differently, we have a false sense of humility. Humility, to be humble, is to be submitted. And if God gave me authority, then the most submitted thing I can do is go out and exercise it. If God put me over business, the most submitted I could be is go run that business. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 2nd chapter, you found it? Notice this, Peter's preaching. Hallelujah. And he says in the 21st verse, 2nd chapter, 21st verse, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's quoting actually Joel and then Paul picks up on that, Romans 10:13. And then he says, men of Israel, 22nd verse, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, attested by God or approved by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst. Wow. Jesus, a man. He was God, I know that. But that's not what Peter's majoring on right here. In fact, he's appealing now to his miracles and how God approved him and how God did that through him, but God did it through him because he was a man. Notice he didn't say this. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, God. A God. Well, I know he was God. We all know he's God. The Bible says he's God with us, Emmanuel. We know God became flesh. We know the story. We heard it over and over. But did Jesus do his miracles as God? No. He did them as a man. Actually, God did them through him as a man. So that's why when you pray for the sick and you lay hands, and we pray for people and we lay hands on people, we believe for the miraculous and the supernatural, we as mankind have the right to do that. And God does it through us just like he did it through the man Jesus. Y'all get it?
Amen.
That's why Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, that whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, see, God is the miracle worker, and God is the healer. But God does it through men. Tag, you're it.
That's right.
I mean, we're, you know, God uses cracked vessels. God uses imperfect people. God uses people with hang-ups because there ain't no other kind.
Wow.
God doesn't use us because we're perfect. Although we should strive for that. God doesn't use us because we're special, because we ain't special. We're just people that have been born again. But we are down here. And we have a responsibility.
Amen.
And when we pray, God uses us, and thank God he does. Yep. But if you're going to play that game of you're not perfect and you're not, you got this hang up and that hang up, well, I think you need to repent of sin all you can. But you're never going to reach a point of perfection where you're so perfect that God's going to start using you now. I mean, just start where you are. Come on. Repent of your sin when it comes up. But see, God uses men. That's all he does use. He doesn't do miracles through dogs and cats and cows and trees. He does miracles through us. Hallelujah. Through our prayer. Why? Because the earth was made for man. Because we are legally born into this earth to oversee this earth, to be masters of this earth, to have authority in this earth, to be the stewards of this earth, hallelujah, to manage it. And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Yeah, that's right.
If it's to be, it's up to me. And as far as the sin issue is concerned, that's why Jesus came. He took care of that sin issue, amen? You're never going to be just as holy as Billy Graham. You know, we often think that. You know, Billy Graham just a man like anybody else. Thank God for everything he did. But you know why he did so much and why God used him so much? Because he was out there. He did it. He purposed. He determined to have a crusade and have another crusade and reach out to more people. And you know what? God's waiting for somebody to do that. And the prayers you've got answered simply are the ones that you've prayed. And the miracles that you've seen are the ones that you pursued. Isn't that right? You know, God, there's a lot of things God hasn't done in my life, and generally because I didn't pray. I can think of a lot of things he hasn't done in my life. But everything he has done generally is because I ask.
Amen.
Or I put myself in a position where he could use me, and I stepped out there. I stretched my faith, you know, took a risk, as it were. The gospel is risky business. You've got to step out there. You've got to get out there on the water. But if you do, God's waiting on that. Because God uses men, and he uses women. And that's all he's ever going to use. That's what this earth was made for. Make sense?
Yes.
That help you?
Yes.
it really ought to encourage us, because I think sometimes the devil's there to condemn and to beat us over the head and, you know, and hold us back from, you know, well, I'm just not worthy. Well, Jesus made you worthy, okay? Well, I'm just not perfect. Join the crowd. In fact, you know, God's big slogan is perfect people need not apply. He only takes imperfect people. But because we are, by virtue of us being born here, and you can pull your birth certificate out. Are you with me? Slap it on the counter. And you can pull the word out. You've been born again. Slap that thing on the counter. And you start praying in Jesus' name. And you watch what God will do. And the devil comes knocking on your door. You ask him where his birth certificate is.
Amen.
He starts trying to run your business, tell you what to do. You say, wait a minute, where's your birth certificate? I want to see it. He doesn't have one.